Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 16 is where we will find our scripture text. And for this month, we're going to be talking about, do you believe in angels? Do you believe in angels? Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 16. And while you're turning there, Reverend Ray just shared with me that the Christmas parade is going to be held in Lynchburg at 4 o'clock today, and his granddaughters will be also in that parade, Jalen and Zania? Zania, okay. So they're going to be in the parade today, and you'll still have time to make it back to Crossroad. Amen? Do you believe in angels? That's the question today, and let's look at Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah in the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commands and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well advanced in years. And it happened that as he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and stood on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege that we have of sharing your word, and we pray that you would now speak to my heart and speak through me to these, the hearts of your people. Challenge us with your word, build us up, encourage us, and Lord, even rebuke us where we're wrong, that we might find ourselves living and obeying your will. We pray that you'd have your way in this service. Be glorified in the midst, Lord. Thank you that we're able to come and worship you, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us now as we talk about your angels, that we might gain a better understanding as to who they are and what they mean in ministry through us and to us. We pray that you'd bless us now, most of all, to hear your word. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. I want to title this message as we begin this discussion on do you believe in angels. I want to ask the question, did you get the message? It's one thing for us to go to the Bible and to read something about God and something how God dealt with people, but it's another thing to ask the question, are we getting it? Do we really understand the impact of what God's word can do? And as we share in this from our reading of the Bible, we certainly know that God created angels for a purpose. He created them for a reason. I'm sure that many of us remember the TV series Touched by an Angel that ran for nearly a decade from 1994 to 2003. If you watch the program, you've probably seen Roma Downey as Monica, Della Reese as Tess, and John Dye as Andrew as they travel about entering conversations with various people, helping them with various needs. And while it was a good moral program, certainly it was wonderful, and the person who actually wrote the script to that, they were Christian. But you know how Hollywood is. We got to put in our version of what an angel is. And so while it contained many good lessons, I don't want to discredit that program for what it was able to bring us. They left some impressions of angels that are not totally accurate according to the scripture. While the drama was certainly wonderful, angels don't need Cadillacs for transportation. I'm just saying. And the second thing, angels are not people who were departed and then came back to fulfill some role as angels in training. That wasn't totally accurate. Good program, though. Good program. Wonderful show, and I watched it as often as I could. But Cadillacs, no. Angels being reincarnated humans, nope. That's not the way it goes. Amen? And then we find out from the scripture that once you die, then comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. So there is no process of you somehow improving your life by now being an angel in training. You're either in or you out. That's why we preach the gospel, because we want people to receive the Lord Jesus and to be saved. And even in some of the episodes that they presented, some of the angels, like Monica, they kind of got into a little problem themselves. Hard for them to figure out what they needed to do, and they needed to be rescued by other angels. That's not the picture that God wants to give you of an angel. The angel that we're going to be talking about today, Gabriel, his meaning of the name means strength from God. Imagine that. An angel visits you and gives you strength from God. We'll talk more about that. Please be aware of the fact that now that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you as a believer, it's not necessary for you to see the angels. Are y'all still here? You have the very presence of God Almighty dwelling in you. If you bow the knee and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to save you, you have received the Holy Spirit. It's not always necessary for you to know exactly what a guardian angel is doing. You've got God Almighty on the inside. Can I get a witness? And I'm telling you, that gives us comfort. But as an added benefit of believing in God, he also has angels. Man, wow, God's pretty cool. I mean, this is great. This is great. And so it's necessary for us to know what an angel is all about and how they're about serving God just as you and I. We have, as I stated earlier, a misunderstanding of angels because we have been influenced by our culture. A lot of us think that as we travel down the road, you know, we've got these angels on each side of our car, and you look, you probably got another car there. Now, it is possible for them to be there, but what I'm trying to tell you, these are spirit beings. They're spirit beings. If they do come in the flesh, it is a manifestation of how they want to present to you. But again, if you've got God on the inside, you don't need to see everything. So as we look at this message, we want to bring out a couple things of what angels do and their ministry among us and how that we can be encouraged in our faith. Angels have four various purposes that they stand in general. Number one, angels worship God. Amen. They worship God. Isaiah 6 tells us about two mighty angels, seraphim they are called, and they stand in the holy place. One cries holy, and the other cries holy at the same time, and they go back and forth. They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. These mighty seraphim of God. Here's the point I want to make. If God should send an angel in your life, you don't need to worship them if they're worshiping God. Why would you want to? Because they're bowing the knee. What the angel will tell you, you need to worship God and honor him. Revelation tells us of massive angels who will join in worship of Almighty God and also the redeemed of the earth. And by the way, there are probably more angels, multitudes of angels, far more than humans, including those who have departed. That's how mighty God is. That's how mighty God is. So they worship God. What else do angels do? They engage in warfare. Angels fight. We got one example in the scripture that when Hezekiah was in trouble and Jerusalem was surrounded, God sent one angel. And in one night, that angel wiped out an army of 185,000 soldiers. And the only reason why they left a couple of the soldiers alive is because they wanted them to go back and tell the others, you don't mess with God. That's how mighty angels are. Now, I know in our decoration, we've got angels in there in these flowing robes and wings, and that's nice. And you get a picture of some angels, they're kind of strumming on in harp, you know, they're just kind of riding on a cloud, strumming on harp, but they fight. They fight. Sometimes they fight for you. And sometimes they fight for me. They're in warfare. Angels not only engage in warfare and worship, but they also work. They carry out assignments from God. They've been given different assignments to go here, go there, do this and do that, because they're under God's command. They have ranks. You have some angels that are high archangels that God uses. Then you have some that are called teraphim, which are those that are on the earth. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that as we go through it. And again, I don't want you to have this information and think, wow, let me go around and see if I can see an angel. If they want you to see them, they will let you know. But they always have to get God's permission. Another point I want to make. You recall that the Bible teaches that one-third of the angels rebelled with Satan. They were cast into the earth. You read that, right? Do your math. If one-third rebel, that means two-thirds are still on God's side. Are y'all still in the building? So if you're encountering a demon, you also have access to at least two angels. Probably more. And I already told you how one angel can wipe out an army, so you got more on your side than the world has on its side. Plus, you still got the Holy Ghost. I was studying and I realized that God being the creator of everything, including angels, if all of the angels had gone with the devil, that didn't mean a thing to God. He could still defeat every one of them because he is God Almighty. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Now, as we get into our text, I got one more thing I'm going to tell you about angels, and that is that they witness of God's glory. They are witnesses of God's glory. They have seen the Shekinah of God. So they are witnesses. They tell people how mighty and how awesome God is. That's the ministry of angels. And guess what? You and I have a ministry that does the same thing. We worship God. What did we just do with the choir? We lifted our hands. Some of us did. We either enjoyed it in our heart. We rejoiced in the spirit of worship because we recognize how good God. We worship God. As a matter of fact, the angels want to see what's on the inside of us that's causing us this great joy. We're not mighty. We're not all that in the bag of chips. We're simply us as humans, and yet God has chosen us to worship him. That's pretty awesome. God has also chosen us for warfare. We fight. Sometimes our greatest battle is on our knees. We fight. We fight with our tears. We fight. We fight with the word of God. When Satan comes in to destroy us, we fight because we know that God will prevail. We are engaged in warfare, but we're also engaged in work. We labor for the Lord. We do things. God may send you to deliver a package today and let them know God loves you. That's how God uses us. And then also we witness. We tell people about the goodness of the Lord. Our foreparents, many of them only had a basic education. Some of them didn't graduate elementary school. And yet they knew how good God was. I can hear my grandma say, "He woke me up this morning and he started me on my way." We join with the angels. So you don't need to worship angels. You don't need to be all infatuated. "Ooh, I saw an angel." I know sometimes when I see a flash go by, I say, "Is that an angel?" But if God wanted me to see them, I would. The important thing is, Gabriel came with a message. His message was directed at Zechariah. He and his wife had been praying to God for a child. Imagine that, praying all your life. Here you are at the altar of incense in the holy place, now getting ready to offer incense, and the chances of Zechariah being chosen for that were between slim and none, because they did it by lot. And so happened, as the scripture says, the lot fell on him. And while he was an old man, he was still able to walk. Isn't that something? Amen. He was still able to minister. And he went in and offered the incense. And while he was in that holy place, there was the angel that suddenly appeared. Gabriel spoke to him. He said, "Don't be afraid. I got some good news for you. You and your wife, what you prayed for, your prayer has been answered." Now, how do we know that our prayer has been answered? Do we get Gabriel to come and tell us? No, again, you've got the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. God tells us, "I heard you." And he gives us that confidence that our prayer has been heard. Angels are wonderful sources of prayer support. As we pray, they come to encourage us. As a matter of fact, as Jesus was praying in the garden, the Bible says angels came and they ministered to him. How did they? They encouraged. Look at what we said about Gabriel. His name means God gives strength. Sometimes you get weary. Sometimes your hands get weak. And who knows if God didn't send you a heavenly visitor to encourage you while you're praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. God hears you. God knows. And the Bible says, be careful, because you may have entertained angels and not have been aware of it. We said the other night, and Joe said it in Bible study the other night, if we knew it was an angel, we'd probably kidnap him. Keep him around in case we need his help. But God encourages us, and I want you to know that as you pray, God is listening for your prayer. Who knows if that angel doesn't bear your prayer up on wings of glory so that you would have the confirmation that God is on your side. But then we'll see the second thing. Angels inform. This angel said to Zacharias, now that this child, you're getting ready to have this child, the angel informed him that the child's name would be John. And then he went on to say, don't let him drink any wine. He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be separated to the will of God. He's going to be doing God's will, and he shall be great. Now, I know that as parents, we can't force our children. They somehow find a way of doing what they want anyway. But remember, you pray for him, and God will take care of the rest. Do I have any witnesses? The Bible tells us that the name John was chosen even though no one in Zechariah's family had that name. But God said, I want to name him John because he's going to be great. And by the way, that name means to be favored by Jehovah. Favored by God. Wouldn't you love to have a name like that? Guess what? Your heavenly name is that. You are favored by the Lord God Almighty. God loves you with an eternal love, and he cannot fail. The Bible tells us later of John that he would be one who would be the first earthly witness that Jesus was the Christ. When he came for his baptism, John declared, "This is he of whom I spoke, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That was John. And in John 1, chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, it said, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then John said, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son has declared him. I do want to digress just a little bit. Why do we celebrate Christmas and Easter? Because it gives you the message of Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He came as the gift of God. He came that he might redeem us. And then at Easter, we celebrate his resurrection over death because he rose from the grave. After he died for our sin, he got up from the grave that he might justify us. And so the next time you say, well, I don't know whether I got any help, you got a lawyer in glory. And his name is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's won every case. And he's won every battle. Thank God for Jesus. Now we get to the situation with Zechariah. He prayed for this. He'd asked God for the child. God said, you got it. Gabriel came with the answer. And then John ran into one of what we call a roadblock, a stumbling block. He started doubting. How many of y'all have ever done that? Prayed about something, believed that God was going to give it. Now, all of a sudden, well, I don't know. You don't know a whole lot of stuff. And so, Zechariah said, Lord, how do I know this is going to happen? After all, my wife and I are both old. How do we know that's going to happen? Somebody said you're only as old as you think you are. You can either let your age defeat you, or you can say, despite my age, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to bring. By the way, old folk, if we're saved, we don't look for the graveyard. We look for glory. Are y'all still here? Head getting gray. Footsteps won't do what they're supposed to do. And I'm telling you, if pain ever had a moment, it'll hit you at night. You're trying to sleep and pain will wake you up and say, you sleep? God still loves us. He still blesses us. Amen. So Zechariah said, now, God, we got some impossible conditions. My wife is barren. I'm old. How is this going to happen? And what he should have done is gone back and read Genesis. He should have read about Abraham and Sarah. He should have looked at the record. If God did it then, he can do it now. Now, for some of you that are going through this season of doubt, well, I don't know whether all that's... Go back and read God's record. He gave his account of how he dealt with Abraham, how he dealt with Sarah, how he dealt with many others throughout the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, whatever God said he's going to do, guess what? Count it done. He's able to accomplish his purpose. Zechariah said, how can I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife also is old and well stricken in years. And then Gabriel said some very powerful words that apply to us, and I'm going to give you a few brief notes about that. He said, I am Gabriel. I am the strength of God. God sent me here. He went on to say, I stand in the presence of God, so I know I heard him right. Then he went on to tell him, and behold, you shall be dumb and unable to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in the proper season. Here's what I want to tell you. Old words of the old folks. He may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. So what you need to do and what I need to do, just shut it up and let God do it. If you don't know how it's going to be done, just let God do it. Let him take over. Let him bless you. Let him give you what's needed for your life, because God is your strength. Say that with me. God is my strength. I'm weak, but God is strong. I get doubtful, but God never doubts himself. What he said he would do, if he did it for your mother, he'll do the same thing for you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise him. He's an almighty God. Now, Zechariah, I can imagine him coming out. First of all, there was shock on everybody's face when he came out, because he couldn't speak. And he had this look about him. I just seen something. How would you feel if you just saw something and couldn't tell anybody what you saw? He grabbed a tablet and started writing down, and they knew that he was dumb. He had seen a vision, is what he said in the Bible. But here's the other part of it. He and Elizabeth took God seriously. They went home and they did homework. Y'all missed that. Y'all so holy. You're so sanctified. They did homework. Praise God. But it's a wonder how God brings about blessings. He uses me and he uses you to accomplish his will. Last point I want to make. Instead of us looking for an angel and trying to get touched by an angel, just join with them in the mighty work of God. There's a whole lot of people out here confused about Christmas, don't know what it's all about. They think it's going shopping. Or they think it's Cyber Monday, which I just looked at my computer and said, hello. As they say in that commercial, Liberty Mutual, only pay for what you need. We get to join with the mighty forces of God to do a work in the world. If there are demons, then there's also angels. If there's unsaved people, there ought to be saved folk. And the reason why things are getting worse and worse is because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And whatever you do, don't join the world. Join the forces of God Almighty. Get on the Lord's side. I had a little poem that I wrote, and I know some of y'all are going to say, that's corny. Well, maybe it is, but I wrote it anyway, and you're going to hear it. If an angel should appear, do not shed a tear. They are sent to do God's will. You just listen and be still. So pay attention and obey. Then you'll find it will be okay. I like that. Yeah. We're going to talk more about angels next time, but I want to specifically give the invitation to someone. Are you on the Lord's side? If you're not on the Lord's side, when that great battle happens between angels and demons and humans that are saved and humans that are not saved, when that great day comes, you got to be on one side or the other. And I want to invite you to get on the winning team. I want you to really accept God. Accept Jesus Christ in your life. If you don't do anything else this Christmas season, please accept Jesus Christ into your heart. He will save you, and he will claim you as his own. If you're online, simply write to us, crossroadbc.com. Let us know that you accepted him. If you're in the parking lot, we can talk with you later. If you're in here, you can just simply come down the aisle and say, preacher, today's the day. I want to get this thing right. I want to be that child of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. This has been exciting. And Lord, as I had prepared my heart and study, I thank you that even now you're dealing with all of us. We can't be angels, but we can be saints. We can be God's people and the sheep of your pasture, which is a far better position, because then we have fellowship with you. Bless someone who doesn't know that today, who's never accepted you today. May they embrace the truth And may the truth set them free. May they indeed get the message and believe that you are God. I pray this in Jesus' strong name and for his glory. And all the saints of God said, amen. Everybody stand while the choir sings, and I'm going to give the invitation. There's someone. Will you come?
Father and all God, you have given us a message today, not only for us, but for those, O God, who are willing to open their hearts to hear and to receive the blessings that you are ready to give. We thank you today, dear God, that you have chosen us as believers to go out and to represent you faithfully, to tell others, oh God, that there is good news this season because Jesus Christ has come into this world to save us. So as we depart here today, Lord, praying, asking that you give us the strength and the courage to go out and be faithful witness for your glory. Again, Lord, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for the message as our hearts yearn to understand the things of God. And may the Holy Spirit continue to uplift our spirit so that we may be motivated not only today, but each and every day of our lives, so that we can live a life worthy of who we are in Christ. We thank you, we praise you, and we bless your name. Be with us, O God, for the rest of the day. And may souls continue to be one to Jesus Christ, because it is all to him I surrender. Thank you for this privilege. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.